Morning, welcome to our celebration this morning. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Let me read it to you. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. May God bless us as we share this word together. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, we've been through Matthew 5, right the way through. We looked at the Beatitudes and the Christian's character. From verse 21 to the end, we've looked at Christian's behaviour, and it's often called the do attitudes. Now we're commencing chapter 6, and Jesus turns to Christian motivation. We can call chapter 6 the heart attitudes. I was reading a story that kind of took place over 100 years ago about a man called Booker T. Washington, perhaps the most famous black man on the planet at that time. He once shared a cup of tea with the Queen. He was the first black man invited to dinner with the president at the White House. To a very extraordinary degree, said President Roosevelt, he combined humility and dignity. Roosevelt said, as much as any man I've ever met, he lived up to Micah chapter 6, verse 8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. March the 12th, 1911. Booker was in Iowa, preaching to standing room only crowds. He was the talk of the town. Later that day, in the lobby of his hotel, a white woman mistook him for a hotel waiter. She asked him for a glass of water. Instead of correcting her, he got some water, handed it to her and asked, "Is there anything else that I can get for you?" That one encounter encapsulates his motives, his character, his heart. And as we look at this passage today, this secret service, this heart of service, that's three things I want to look at: the heart of service, the secret service, and the reward of service. The heart of service, giving with no strings attached. Remember last week we said loving with no strings attached. Well, this week, giving with no strings attached. This chapter focuses on three things that Jews see as a standard obligation towards God: giving, praying, and fasting. And Jesus' point is the same for each. What matters is the motive. Don't perform these religious duties with an eye on the audience. Do them with a right heart towards God and to Him alone. Jesus is not concerned about us doing acts of righteousness in front of people, by the way. How do I know this? Because He says in Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." But Jesus is going deeper. He wants us to pay attention to what is driving us, what motivates us. It's not enough that you have the right behavior if you have the wrong motive in your hearts. After being away on business, Tim thought it would be nice to bring his wife a little gift. "How about some perfume?" he asked the lady. She showed him a bottle costing £50. "Oh, that's a bit much," said Tim. So she returned with a smaller bottle for £30. Tim, slightly annoyed, said, "That's still quite a bit." So the clerk brought out a tiny £15 bottle. "What I mean," said Tim, "I'd like to see something really cheap." And the lady behind the desk handed Tim a mirror. It's a funny story, isn't it? But it's probably got a lot of truth in it. Can I ask, what motivates you to give? No strings attached giving. How and why do you do it? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Jesus was exposing the hearts of the Pharisees again. They pretended that they loved to give and make a big show of it, but they weren't interested in the lives of the beneficiaries at all. They were only interested in themselves and what they could get out of it. Verse 1 says, "Before men they were doing this, to be seen by them." Interestingly, this phrase, "to be seen by them," the Greek is theathenai. It's where we get the word theatre from. So the question of motive is, are you just playing a role in the drama of church life, or are you being authentic? Religious hypocrisy is far from dead, you see. Why do you attend church? What is it about 11 o'clock on a Sunday? Why do you give? The Greek drama of Jesus' day was to don a mask and play a role. This, in essence, is being a hypocrite. R.T. Kendall suggests there are three kinds of hypocrites. One who feigns goodness but is actually not good and knows he is being deceptive. Second one, one who's carried away by his own acting and deceives himself but not fooling others. And thirdly, one who deceives himself into thinking he's acting for God's best interests. It's about the heart. We're all actors in a grand drama. The question is, are you acting a role when it comes to spirituality? Is it just a mask, a veneer, or is it real? Hypocrisy, like other sins, will take us further than we want to go, keep us there longer than we want to stay, and cost us more than we want to pay. In today's culture of performance, we need to be mindful of being too showy, drawing attention to ourselves. Jesus warned us not to be like Pharisees. Desiring the encore, end up loving the praise of men more than the praise of God, as it says in John 12, verse 43. The whole text starts, be careful. The Greek word is prosecho. It's a nautical term, to hold a ship in a direction so that it can continue to its destination. There's a warning to stay on course and not veer off. The acts of righteousness we perform can have a deceptive power over us. As we allow things just to be and do out of rote, the possibility of not checking our alignment, our motive, can veer off, resulting in performance-based righteousness, comparing with others, even thinking we're better off than they. It also leads to powerless godliness. If one craves the praise of men, one will become a lover of self, and will have a form of godliness but no power, it says in 2 Timothy 3. What's the issue here? Your motivation. Your heart. If you do good works to get the praise for yourself, Jesus says you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. God must be first in our hearts in all things. It should be a God-centered and gospel-focused motive. There are types of ministry that are more about self-service than self-sacrifice, self-indulgence than self-discipline, and self-promotion than self-denial. Dallas Willard says, having shown us true well-being and the goodness of the kingdom of heart, Jesus now in Matthew 6 alerts us to two things that will block or hinder a life constantly interacting with God and healthy growth in the kingdom. These are the desire to have the approval of others, especially for being devout, and the desire to secure ourselves by means of material wealth. Is yours a heart service, a true heart towards God? Is it a secret service? No strings attached giving is part of our secret life with God. By the way, Jesus says when you give, not if you give. And Jesus uses the word secret in pointing out three areas of righteousness. Give in verse 4, pray in verse 6, and fasting in verse 18. Each one is followed by this phrase, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We prefer for things to be seen, not secret. We live in a society where we are bombarded by marketing and advertising. Everyone is fighting to be noticed, to stand out. Even with churches, ministries and assignments, there is a strong tendency to be showy. In Matthew 6, in the first four verses, we see what Jesus says to his disciples about publicity and attention. He's addressing the issue of authenticity. Just how genuine is our relationship with God? It's possible to have an outward display, to talk the talk, without demonstrating an inner reality of godliness. Authentic Christianity requires an outward and discernible work of faith. Or as it says in 1 Thessalonians 1, a life that's prompted by love. But it also requires an inner discipline of the heart. Godliness must be found in the heart if it's to be genuine. About 200 years ago, there was a Jewish family in Germany. Their lives revolved around their Jewish community and Jewish religious customs. But the family moved from one part of Germany to another. One evening, the father returned home and announced that the family would no longer be going to the Jewish synagogue. Instead, they would be going to the Lutheran church. In fact, he insisted that his children get baptized. His young son, who was very intelligent, asked him, "Father, why are we no longer going to the synagogue?" The father said, "In this part of Germany, in order to do business, it would be much more profitable for us to go to the Lutheran church." The son became angry towards his dad. In fact, he left Germany and came to England to study. While he was in London, he penned these famous words: "Religion is the opiate of the people." Billions of people impacted by this atheistic philosophy. His name? Karl Marx. And all of us right now perhaps recoil instinctively against such hypocrisy. In fact, it's one of the objections we hear to Christianity. All Christians are hypocrites. I've heard it. In other words, we don't live up to what we profess to believe. We attach all so many strings. There are strings attached so often. The thing that upset Jesus the most was hypocrisy. Pretending to be someone you're not, or better than you are. Hypocrisy is lying about yourself, wearing a mask in a drama of life's deception. And the troubling truth about all this, there's a trace of it in all of us. It was Alexander Solzhenitsyn who was in prison when he came to this radical understanding. He wrote, "I came to see that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart." Solzhenitsyn saw his problem, and he realized he needed a savior. And as I've been writing this, I also realize that we need the savior again. We need the Holy Spirit again to convict us, to come and wash us, and to cleanse us. You know, it's possible to do a good thing in secret and still have a bad attitude. Chrysostom said, "You may do good deeds before men and yet not seek human praise. You may do them in secret and yet in your heart wish that they may become known to gain that praise." Interesting, isn't it? We're doing still with those strings attached. Jesus wants us to so love and please God that we'll do everything we should do for his eyes and for his glory alone. Issue is, we know that other eyes will be watching, and it's very easy, particularly for ministers and others who are involved with leading worship or other activities, to perform for the audience rather than live for God. What matters are the intentions of our heart before God. No strings attached loving, no strings attached giving, no strings attached praying, and no strings attached fasting. Jesus' teaching doesn't say hide such. That's not the point. There's nothing inherently wrong with these being known. The point, we're not to do them in order to be seen. You see, our intent is determined by what we want from our actions. When we do good deeds to be seen by others means we are looking for something that comes from them. So many strings become attached in that area. God responds to our expectations, you know. We want man's approval and do what we do to secure it. God will actually stand aside because by our intent and desire, it doesn't concern him. It's kind of saying, my value is determined by others and their assessment of me. Boy, how wrong this is. But we know when we do well, we receive affirmation. When we do poorly, well, we receive no affirmation and sometimes might be criticized. The world measures our worth on the basis of our appearance, our production, our performance, which seems to be the only things that count so often in our lives. Image is everything, certainly everything in our world. So outward signs and show are essential. Well, that's what we tell ourselves. Sadly, it can lead to an inauthentic ministry, a sham. I have to say, and I remind myself, that being a Christian calls for genuineness, authenticity, and transparency. It's not about earth's applause, but about heaven's favour, serving and living for the audience of one, our Father God. For Jesus, the only authentic requirement from his followers is summed up in the commands, love God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. Such love takes us out of ourselves and reorientates us back to God and his secret service. That fine line between thy kingdom come and, well, my kingdom come. I want to honour those who serve in secret. Many, so many work behind the scenes in humility and hiddenness. Those workers, those cleaners, those prayer intercessors, those caring for their loved ones, the elderly, the sick, those stay-at-home people. If this is your season of hiddenness, be content. Your Father knows. Do you know what will happen? Brings me to my third point. It will be a rewarded service. It will be a rewarded service. The media and social climate do not help us to live this kind of hidden life. We love selfies, likes, and followers. We use the name of God to justify our religious pride and actions to draw attention to ourselves. But how do we counter this? There's only one solution. Matthew 16 says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. No strings attached walk of faith. This can only be done by the work and power of the Holy Spirit. Highly likely that a big issue in the heart attitudes in a Christian life has to do with money. Every one of us sooner or later comes face to face with the use of our money for him. May we be happy to serve secretly for the Lord so that our Father who sees in secret will reward us. The Lord uses the word reward 3 times in 4 verses. And each time it is used with reference to our motivation for doing something good. If your heart is aligned to the heartbeat of God, then you'll have a heart for the poor and needy and give as you are able to and without needing to tell others. Are you prepared to serve if no one notices at all, says anything at all, or appreciates you at all, but still knowing that your Father sees? We're all being watched. Matthew 6 verse 4 says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God sees your heart. He knows you. Psalm 139 talks about how our Father knows, and he rewards such. There's no amount of darkness that we can hide ourselves in that God doesn't see through. There is no secret file on our computer that God doesn't know about. There's no secret thought or attitude, word that we can speak that God's not aware of. The thought of God seeing us is both terrifying and yet amazingly comforting. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, according to our Lord, it comes to this. Man by nature desires the praise of man more than the praise of God. In desiring the praise of man, what he's really concerned about is his good opinion of himself. We're either pleasing ourselves or else we are pleasing God. Now, this is a fundamental principle for the whole of our life. Perhaps no better way of trying to live than to be constantly reminding ourselves, you, God, see me. And I reckon it will revolutionize your life. Oh, we all crave attention, I know that. But since we are all actors in a great drama, for whom will you perform? This is a crucial issue of the heart. How many of us here or listening still struggle to gain admiration and the approval of parents, of those loved ones who've always somehow been withholding of praise? We all get the reward we seek. The Greek for they will have their reward is actually a commercial term. It literally means payment in full. If you give and you've made sure others know, well, that was the whole point of your gift, Jesus says. In that moment, God stamps that paid in full. You've got your reward. Your goal was to impress others. They were impressed. You were paid. You get your reward. But verse 4 says, then your Father. It's an interesting thought. Then your Father. Acknowledge that you are always being watched by your Father. Live with the sense that his eye is on you and upon me at this very moment. Shut out the applause of others and the satisfaction of your own approval. Live life before an audience of one, your Father God. Seek his reward, and his reward alone. I close with R.T. Kendall's quote. He asks, who gets the credit? Who said it first? Who gave the money? Who had that idea? Who prayed for healing? Who brought enemies together? Who was the mover or the shaker that made this or that happen? Do you insist on getting the credit? He asks. Or can you wait until God's then? Then your Father, who sees what he's done in secret, will reward you. My prayer is that you'll wait for God's then and serve for the audience of one.